The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Inside of the Celtics Life podcast, the West Coast road trip is over and the Boston Celtics aren't dead yet. They're looking better, actually. With 14 games left in the regular season, the 3 seed is still in play, and despite stumbling in their last game, they look light years better than the team we potted about last week. I'm Justin Quinn here with Mark Allison. Let's dive right into what's happened in the interim. So, things are looking kind of, you know, better, aren't they?
Yeah, that West Coast swag. So the magic plane ride, and all of a sudden we are looking more like the team that we all kind of envisioned, right? I just want to say I am thankful that I wasn't on the podcast last week because I was scheduled to be. We had a little mix-up, and I would have said some really bad things that I'd like to take back now. I know you guys got pretty heated last week, and I was ready to go guns blazing. So I'm really glad I wasn't on last week.
We look like we may have overreacted a wee bit. Topher really went in hard.
Well, I was prepared to. It's probably for the best that I wasn't on there with him because it would have been worse.
But I don't know. I'm feeling somewhat better. I wouldn't say I'm relieved. I'm not going to say we, you know, quote unquote, as we've said, what, 3,000 times this season, turned the corner. But it doesn't look like we are taking a nosedive straight to hell anymore and could actually make some noise in the postseason, maybe even do some surprising things. But there's some work to do. You know, even though that Philadelphia and Indiana have been slipping in the standings, you know, we got to within, I think, a half game before we dropped last night's game. Now we're a game and a half back. And I don't know. What do you think? What's your assessment of the Celtics team and this magical airplane trip and all of that good stuff?
So I think, I mean, and we're, like, joking, obviously, about last week, but I do think, like, the upset reactions and whatnot, it was totally warranted because we were coming off of I watched that Houston game, right? That was the last game before the road trip. Yeah. National televised game. They just, like, looked like complete dog shit. Just loafing around. They were down, what, 30 points in the first half? Something and then like all that. Of a sudden, some effort comes out of nowhere in the second half. They ended up getting back into that game. I think they ended up losing by 7 or something like that. But they had it, like, within 5 points with, like, minutes to go. All too little too late. And I think that was just kind of, like, that was more frustrating to me to see them come out like that. It was a big game. They were supposed to be responding after some subpar efforts before that, and they didn't. So, so then we go out west, that game against the Warriors. Full disclosure, these friggin' West Coast games, I fell asleep waiting for that game to come on. I was watching the Bruins, and then there was like a 45-minute gap in between the two games, and the Sandman got me in there. So I didn't watch the Golden State game. I didn't see a minute of the game when it was on. I woke up at like 2 in the morning on my couch, passed out, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. But obviously, I looked back and saw the game after, and you know, they completely, like, turn around. I mean, we've totally washed them. So I guess the response game came a game too late. Like, had they done that or played better like that against Houston, I don't think everyone would have been going as crazy as they were. But they just looked so bad in that Houston game, at least for three quarters of it. But yeah, I mean, full tilt boogie against Golden State there. Pun intended there. That's actually kind of.
That was a good pun because it was.
I didn't even. Topher be proud of me there. I didn't even mean to do that. That's intense. But so then you know they show up in Sacramento the next night without Kyrie, and play well. I don't want to say they played well, but they gutted out a win. They didn't play great, but the second night of back to back, missing your best player, they gutted out a win, which I think was important. They didn't have to run away with the game. They won it. It came down to the end, and they came through. Then we go back to Los Angeles. Obviously, the Lakers are a complete mess right now. They didn't play well in that game either. So, and they still won. My thing here is, like, we're all hyped on the 3-1 world trip. Obviously, they lost last night to the Clippers. In porous fashion, but end of the trip, people giving them a break here. As great as they played in that Golden State game, they didn't really play great in any of the other games. I mean, they won the games, right? There were two of them, anyways. I'd say they played better in Sacramento. Did anyone really think they played well in that Los Angeles game, the first Lakers game? Because I didn't think they played great. They should have played
without any flashiness, any commitment to defense, significant organization. They just played such a bad team.
Yeah, Kyrie played very well. I don't mean the whole team played bad, but they kind of coasted to victory. It's not like they looked like a well-oiled machine in that game, I guess that's what I was, you know. But you're supposed to beat the bad teams, and they did. And, I mean, it was relatively easy, I guess, although the Lakers kept coming back and hanging around, but they did put him away. But it just seems like, I think more so than them playing well, is it seems like everybody's back on the same page and things are moving like they should be, right?
That's important, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Seems to still revolve all around Kyrie and his moods, which makes me uncomfortable as fuck. But if Daddy is always happy, hopefully it'll rub off on Kyrie, because, you know, as long as he doesn't seem to get all down in the dumps the way that he has, the team seems like it recovers fairly well. I like his response. You know, this is exactly what I was talking about. When, you know, just a few weeks ago, I was constantly complaining about how he handled losses with the media. And just the way that he was in this last loss, just like, yep, we lost, it sucks, let's move on. That's what you give the media. You have to say something, you don't need to psychoanalyze a goddamn team in front of them.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, so yesterday he comes out with the, kind of apologizes to the media for the way he's been... the way he has been, well, kind of like the way he's been dealing with them, and it's kind of the way he's been portraying them too, as if they're all out to get him. I mean, they have to ask these questions. He was getting into it with guys like, what was it, Steve Bullpit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, these are respectable reporters. They're asking questions that they have to ask, you know? All of a sudden he doesn't want any of the limelight. This is a guy who just had a movie come out last year based around a fictional character of him playing basketball. So to act like he doesn't want any of this extra attention and stuff is pretty disingenuous, if you ask me.
I think so too. And it's not necessarily, I think, that he doesn't want attention. He just doesn't like the fact that he's been getting negative attention. And I think he finally connected the dots that he's the reason why he's getting the negative attention.
Exactly.
Because of the things he says.
Right. Exactly. My hope is, though, right? So if we do, you know, we get through this season, if we sign him to a long-term deal, 4 years or something like that, I think a lot of this goes away just because he's not going to have to answer to what, because this kind of all stemmed from him, whether he was going to stay, whether he's going to go. He tried to put that to bed early in the season, right? And then I guess he just became frustrated when the people would still ask him about that. Right around when the Anthony Davis stuff popped up and he wanted to move, and that, you know, that's when everything kind of, that's when this all started, really. And then the Celtics weren't playing well. So I feel like, and I hope, I guess, because I'd love for him to still be on the team, because I do enjoy watching him play basketball. I don't really give a shit how they deal with the media as long as they play and play well. But we probably wouldn't have to deal with this if he was on a long-term deal, right? At least a good portion of this goes away, right?
It would be significant.
I guess you'd always have to worry about him being happy and demanding a trade because he's done that before, but I feel like most of the circus goes away.
I don't know. Has anyone ever demanded a trade twice in their career? I mean,
that's true, right? Is that ever happened?
I think Carmelo kind of, sort of, vaguely did, but he didn't do it in the same way with the Knicks. It was kind of more of a behind the scenes thing. And you could even say three times maybe with Houston, though I think it was pretty mutual at that point. So, I mean, that's really the only example I can even think of.
To think where there was a time when Carmelo Anthony twice demanded to be traded after, like, now he can't get on any team. So, like, what a
life
comes at you fast.
Yes,
life
comes at you fast.
Oh, man.
So, what do you think about the whole magic plane ride to Los Angeles? And it's, you know, is this just a bunch of horse shit that we're just going to, like, you know, chalk up to, sure, it works, great, wonderful. Or was there really something there? Have we really seen something substantial change? I think it's really too early to say personally, but I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, so, I mean, it seems like the attitude has definitely shifted, right? They're certainly playing better than they were before that stretch. Even though I still think, Golden State game aside, I don't think they jumped off the page in any of the other games. I think it's got to be an attitude thing. Like, I think it has shifted the attitude of the team. Now, whether they're good enough to really be the team that they have the talent to be. I mean, well, that obviously we're gonna find that out over the next couple of weeks. I mean, I think even before, obviously, when you get to the playoffs, it's a little bit of a different game. I think we're in an advantage over some of these other teams because we have a guy like Kyrie who can score almost anytime he wants, right? Or at least get a shot off anytime he wants, or get to the hoop, whatever. The game is definitely gonna shorten. I mean, it's just the way, the line, the rotation's shortened. I think we're in a good spot there. But I do think that it's important. I don't think we can go back in the tank and then just all of a sudden turn it on in the playoffs. I do think they have to be playing well over these next, what do we have, 10 games left?
14.
Okay, 14. Well, it's more than I thought. Yeah, I mean, I think these next few weeks are going to be telling. Because, I mean, what if they just, like, go 500 over these games, that's not going to be good.
No, and there's a lot of winnable games. There's definitely some hard matchups left on the calendar. They do, I think, I agree, need to tighten up and win those winnable games. And the difficult games, they should be winning most of them. You know, they don't need to win all of them, but if they do drop games, dropping a game to a team that is deep and full of NBA-level players like the Clippers, you know, we can accept that, but they need to not be dropping games against the Sacramento home game when they come back on Thursday. They need to take care of business against the Atlantas of the league. So, you know, they're definitely not out of the woods yet, and there's definitely, you know, Sacramento's going to be pissed. They want to make the playoffs, and they want revenge for getting beat on their home floor. You know, they were above 500 team before we got to them. They're slipping a bit now, and they are not going to take it lightly when they step onto the Garden parquet. So they need to be prepared for those games. And I'm still concerned based on the fact that we saw, you know, the crescendo of Golden State and then kind of like a slow drift back down towards mediocrity through the rest of the trip. I'm hoping that has a lot to do with the fact that they were in Los Angeles the whole damn time, the weekend that a certain young player who, you know, I'm not saying he didn't play because of a shoulder soreness from the Golden State game, but it is awfully interesting that somebody, you know, came of age in Los Angeles and then wasn't playing on the last game.
Yeah, that's a little convenient, right?
My shoulder! Yeah. He said, smile. That's the only reason I'm joking about it, because I made a big, big, big boo-boo earlier this week talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. Maybe we can go into that now. I think this is a mm-hmm. good segue to that. The Lakers have been dealing with a bunch of misfortune, but the lead story, I think, for them right now is my boo-boo, which is Brandon Ingram. I you know, when they put LeBron on a minutes restriction and no back-to-back, we all knew the tank was in. They were throwing in the towel. We can talk about that in a second, but the bigger thing for me, for them, for their future, their long and short-term future, is Brandon Ingram doesn't just have a nebulous, we better sit him for the rest of the season, shoulder injury. And the way that I was hinting about Tatum's shoulder injury not being serious, it was serious, and it's very serious. It's deep vein thrombosis, which, if you're not familiar, that is what ended Chris Bosh's career. I think Mirza Teletovic as well. And, I mean, for, at least for both of them, from what I'm gathering, you know, again, disclosure, not a doctor, not qualified to say, well, I am a doctor, but not that kind of doctor. Anyway, moving on. I'm not qualified to speak on this injury in any way, shape, or form, but from what I understand, what I've been hearing from people who are, is that it is less dangerous if it's in your arm than in your legs, and much less dangerous than, say, like a pulmonary embolism, which is the blood clot moving closer to the heart. And that will kill you. You know, it'll kill you dead if it happens on the court. And you're on the blood-thinning medications to hopefully get rid of it. And if it goes away, then great. You're wonderful. If it's just – these kinds of things can happen sometimes.
Right.
So there's some pretty big implications. Like, obviously, he has to legitimately sit along with Lonzo Ball, you know, who has an ankle issue. And that, I think, is legit. And they're being careful with it, which is probably wise.
But, yeah, at this point, especially, you know.
Yeah, why rush them back? They're not doing anything, and they have a good shot at a top 10 pick if they keep losing. They don't. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to worry. They're not getting Zion. It's basically mathematically impossible at this point, you know, barring legitimate league subterfuge, which I don't think happens, at least not in the draft. But, you know, you brought up in the chat something that has some pretty serious implications. No one's really talked about it because, you know, they're trying to be sensitive to it. But, I mean, at some point we do need to cover the fact that this is going to significantly affect Los Angeles's future, particularly this summer. And maybe you would like to talk about what you were talking about in the chat.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm right. It's I mean, obviously it's a sensitive issue, but we can bring it up. But this doesn't this like effectively take them out of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes? There's no way they're going to be able to trade for him if Ingram is not in the deal, right?
It takes 3 months, from what I understand, to at least, you know, revisit the situation and find out if the anticoagulants had run their course, and that, you know, they need to do a battery of tests to make sure it's not the result of a genetic disorder. Because you can sometimes, you know, just get hurt and then get a hematoma and a blood clot. It just happens.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's what happens. But we're not going to know until
right.
well after, like a good month after it matters.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, and here, I hope Ingram comes back and is fully healthy next season, and I don't wish any ill will to him, but if you're the Pelicans, you already shot down a deal, the little Godfather offer from the Lakers of, like, all those guys, Kuzma, Ball, Ingram, whatever picks, and like now going into this offseason, like you said, even if it's cleared up by then, it's still going to give you a little more pause, right? I just don't see how they're going to be able to make that trade unless for some reason the Celtics are out of the equation. You know, whether it's Davis tells Ainge that he will not re-sign there, or Ainge isn't comfortable thinking that he will. Or if something else crazy happens and we traded for Durant instead or something, you know, like, some of those other wild things that people are talking about. But other than that, I mean, I don't see, there's some dark horse team that will be able to get the pieces. I mean, whoever gets Zion, obviously, would probably have a good shot.
A shot at least.
I mean, so that, you know, that's a reasonable, I guess it depends on who ends up with that number one pick, obviously, but unless I don't see how they pull the trigger on that deal now. I mean, Lakers fans would have you believe that Ingram is better than Tatum. Now, whatever, they can debate that. He's actually been playing very well since the All-Star break too. So he was essentially the best piece, in that draft. I mean, some people might like Lonzo better, but I think Ingram has way more upside than Lonzo.
He does.
He can be your leading scorer on, you know what I mean? He has the potential to be like the leading scorer who can get a shot off whenever, a la Kevin Durant type player. And that's, I think, more important than having, a Rondo-esque point guard who maybe will be a better shooter, right?
Maybe.
I mean, that's kind of what Alonzo is, right? Yeah.
He's been very, very erratic, and it's very hard to get a read on exactly what kind of a pro he's going to be just because he's been injured so many times. We're talking about ball here.
Yeah.
Regarding Ingram, I think there is some recognition that, you know, the argument that bad team scoring empty points is one thing. There is the West Coast aspect where they are playing slightly better in conference play, so there's some ground made up that way. But then we also have, you know, proven postseason ability with Tatum. So I think I tend to agree that, you know, most of the people whose opinions I trust that aren't just Celtics analysts rate Tatum as the higher prospect long term. I will agree, a very much narrowed path for the Lakers to land Anthony Davis, assuming they are still going to try to. However, I do see two distinct paths for it happening. If they could crack the top four, I don't think they have a very good chance mathematically of getting much better than the 3 or 4 pick in the very best tanking outcome for them. It's definitely possible if they can get a couple more, like three, I think about three more spots down in the standings, then they will have a solid mathematical chance at breaking into the top four, like 20-something, 29%, I think, is the best possible.
To get in the top four, yeah.
Yeah, that's the very best, and it's a very narrow path for them.
Yeah.
More likely, they're going to be in the 10 to 20% range for that, according to Tankathon. So it's definitely, they could definitely get a top four pick that would still, you know, with Ingram, I think, you know, he's still got enough upside in terms of both his health situation and his ability to play, that I think he would still, you know, be an interesting pick. I think he would have lost a lot of luster because of his health situation. But I do think that if they can miraculously get to that higher lottery pick, I think it's still there, and there is a ridiculous suggestion that I have only just start hearing people speak about, and this is because of a fact that LeBron has something going on with his current contract that he has not had in previous, which is he no longer has a no trade clause.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So unless I'm mistaken, he doesn't have a no trade clause in his current deal. So what if we dealt LeBron James for Anthony Davis? We do know that Anthony Davis would be interested in staying up, and maybe more interested in going to a Lakers without LeBron James. I mean, that would just be sheer insane. I mean, I think actually LeBron would be a good fit with Giroud. I'm not saying it's an ideal situation considering that he did not want to move to New Orleans, but I do think there would be a better team than the situation he's looking at the moment, at the very least.
Imagine trading LeBron for Davis and then signing Kawhi Leonard and Kawhi and Davis in Los Angeles. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want to be facing them on a regular basis, but at least it would be a different, unexpected twist and turn.
Yeah.
I don't wish the Lakers any ill will, but they have just been
I
having,
do.
Well, I don't, because I want to beat them. I want them to be good enough for us to beat in the finals.
Here's the thing, though. This is why that'll never happen. Because the Lakers are so concerned with their image in players' minds that they would never trade LeBron. Not like that. Not unless he demanded to be traded. Like, they're the team that gave Kobe that, you know, that money at the end of his career, almost like a, you know, even in his last wash-up year, he signed that one last deal. He was making like $40 million a year, right?
Stealth tank.
They did that. They're very concerned with how the players, and obviously in some cases that's good, because you always hear about players wanting to play there, although they haven't signed a great free agent in his prime in a long time, right? Aside from this LeBron thing. But they, like, whereas the Celtics kind of have this reputation of, well, you know, after what we did to, Isaiah Thomas, we kind of have this, oh, they're so cutthroat over there. Like, the Lakers are, like, the complete opposite. Like, if you're, like, a, you know, star like LeBron, like, they'll just coddle you forever. So, I mean, they'll never, I don't think they would ever do that, just out of that.
Yeah, you're probably right. And to be honest, it's not the kind of move their management seems to be making, which is more about winning than image in general as well. And, you know, I mean, they're totally about winning as long as they can do it in a flashy Hollywood-style manner. And I know it's stereotypical, but the Buss family has continued that tradition as far as I can see. And that substance seems to matter much less. Not entirely. They do care about things like analytics and whatnot. But image does seem to be, at least from my point of view as well, to be the primary driver of their decision-making process, to the point where they're hiring, in my opinion, unqualified people to run the organization, and it's having the results that you would expect, really. So I'm all for that.
You don't think Rob Lowe is a good GM?
Rob Lowe? Yeah, I mean, he does look like Rob Lowe, doesn't he? It's kind of creepily.
It's very scary.
Yes. Yeah, so, I don't know. We've got a fairly winnable week coming up ahead of us. Sacramento at home this Thursday, March 14th. Followed
the
up.
The rematch.
Yep. And, you know, that's a real big trap game, in my opinion. But so is Atlanta this Saturday on the 16th. You know, Atlanta may be a tanking team, but the players want to win, and they play hard, despite the fact that they're tanking. They're not tanking more through ineptitude. They're tanking more through youth and, you know, just really not having the roster to compete, which is, in my opinion, the better way to treat your fans to tanking, give them some promise to watch, rather than throwing out a bunch of D-leaguers and see who sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a very losable game if they continue to play the brand of basketball that we were ranting and raving about last podcast. And then you finish up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really think they're going to come out fired up on Thursday after, you know, they've kind of regained their composure here, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Garden crowd's going to be nuts Thursday. Because, you know, to greet them coming back, you know, 3-1 on the West Coast swing, I would be shocked if they don't win that game big.
I hope so.
And I know Sacramento's a decent team. I'm not, like, no shade on them. I think any team coming in there on Thursday is going to have a hard time, if you ask me.
I think so. I think that that's going to be a really big bellwether to how concerned we should be. If they barely scrape by with a 1-point win, or God forbid drop a game to Sacramento at home,
yeah.
we need to pull out the concern button and
if they scrape by and win, but like Sacramento shot the lights out or something, I can deal with that. You know what I mean? As long as we're not giving up, you know, as long as they don't look like crap.
Exactly. Turnstile defense. Long, you know,
yeah.
So then what do you think about the Atlanta game? Do you agree that might be something of a trap?
It probably could be, and I think they should roll over them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that they do. It's obviously, it smells like a trap game, but I would imagine at this point, as long as we keep, they should be able to walk away with that one easy. And then, hey, Isaiah Thomas Day, it's on my birthday next Monday.
Does he get a video?
We've all been waiting for. that's really awesome. I actually wish, had I realized that game was on the 18th, which is my birthday, I would have totally gone to that game. But, you know, didn't realize that until just now, to be honest with you, looking at your chart that you sent me. But that's pretty awesome, though. I'm excited for that. He's probably going to have a monster game, so that'll be a tough one.
So if you're going to go on our most recent analysis of this team over the road trip, what do you predict for the record for the week?
I would say 2-1. Anything less than that really sucks. I could totally see us losing that game to Denver. But if they finish this 2-1, I'll be happy with that.
Sam, very much in agreement. I think that we're going to see something to the tune of a 3-1 or 2-1 that is unusual. I think we're going to drop a game not against Denver. You know, that's the expected loss if we're going to lose one this week. I'm not going to say who. I don't know if it's going to be Sacramento or Atlanta. If it's Atlanta, I could deal with it. If it's Sacramento, I'm going to be pissed, which sounds weird, but I think we understand why based on our conversation. But I want to say that if you want to go to that Denver game, because it's at home, you can check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts, hoodies, and tickets to games like the Denver, Atlanta, and Sacramento games. So you need to know, Mark, maybe somebody out there listening will be very nice and buy you a ticket to your birthday.
Yeah, please.
It'd be very, very sweet of them. Not that I'm soliciting support from our audience in anything other than 5-star reviews, where, you know, you will never catch them. You'll never miss an episode if you subscribe. If you don't like what you hear, you know, you can skip the 5-star review and just, you know, use any Celtics Life article or Twitter with the hashtag CLPOD. Then be able to inform us without impeding us in our mission to bring you the Celtics coverage you want, just the way you like it. I got all experimental with that closing, and I probably murdered it, but, you know, that's kind of been the modus operandi of the Celtics for the last month, so I feel like I kind of deserve a little bit of a break. What do you think?
Killing it. Killing it.
All right, y'all. We're going to get out of here, but hopefully we will reconvene next week with a positive week under the hood. And I'm Justin Quinn, going out with Mark Allison. Take care, y'all.
Later, guys.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.